What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Happy Wednesday. This might be the earliest I've ever recorded, but this is actually the first morning in a long time that I've had hours to myself. Usually when I wake up, it's like bang, bang, boom, emails, work, workout, breakfast, take the dog out. Wednesdays, I have designated Wednesdays, hump day, middle of the week, to just like relaxing a little bit when I wake up and allowing myself the time to read Harper's Bazaar and Marie Claire and just like catch up on bullshit makeup, skincare, and fashion news and sip my coffee for a little bit longer and relax in my bathrobe for a little bit longer. So I have some little, you know, some extra time today to chat with y'all. Today's episode is really food focused because food and the physical act of taking myself to grocery stores is giving me a lot of joy right now. And when it feels like the world is crumbling around you, I tap in to really primitive, simplistic joys. Like on a normal day, like maybe if the world was normal and COVID, and COVID never happened and World War III in Ukraine never happened and Trump never happened, maybe I would continue to hate going to the grocery store because I hate the people. I hate waiting in line. I hate that awkward moment where two people are standing in the same aisle, obviously looking for very similar products. Like you're both looking for beans, right? Like one of you is looking for black beans. One of you is looking for pinto beans. And you're just standing there awkwardly like, ooh, like, do I step in front? Do I go behind you? Like, oops, sorry, I just fucking hate all these little awkward moments because the aisles are too damn cramped. And it's only worse when both of you have a shopping cart. And it's even worse when one of you, not me, because I am childless, thank God, by choice. It's even worse when the other person has a screaming toddler who is like running up and down the aisle with their fucking toy and singing or screaming or crying. It's a grocery store is a nightmare. But because the world is such a shit show right now, I've found that the grocery store actually brings me a lot of happiness because it means that I'm going to eat good for the following week. It means that I have my dinners in a row, which means I have my ducks in a row, and it just helps me feel more organized and put together. And there's no better feeling than like craving something, like a little bite of cheese and crackers or a little cookie in the middle of the day and knowing that you have secured the goods. Because there is nothing worse than wanting a little something something and realizing that you don't have it and you have to either get in your car and drive or take public transportation or fucking walk and go and get it. And 9 times out of 10, you don't because we're just like lazy. But today's all about food and groceries. There's kind of like 3 different sections or chapters I want to talk about. Number one is how to get free groceries, which is practically unheard of in capitalist America. Like, when is the last time you got anything for free? I don't know. A raffle? A fair, maybe you won a prize, you won tickets to something, or you won like a free hot dog and a beer. But free groceries, like that sounds too good to be true. It sounds like a gimmick, but I promise you it is not. I'll get into details a little bit later. The second part of this episode is what I call Fit Girl Cheat Days. And it's actually a very specific niche of video on YouTube that I am loving right now and a very specific YouTuber whose content I am just absorbing and enjoying like a sponge. So feel good and just like such a great distraction from news and headlines. And the third chapter is about voting with your dollars. And I'm going to break it all down exactly what I mean. So let's start with free groceries, because who the fuck doesn't want free groceries? Everything is inflated right now. The economy is wacko. Everything costs like 10 times what it should. So free groceries, hello, like sign me the fuck up. So what I mean by free groceries, it has different names depending on the state you live in. It can be called a food donation center. I know it best as a food rescue center or a food rescue market. And what it is, it's basically a donation center. So the same way you donate like lightly used clothes or unopened makeup to Goodwill and secondhand thrift stores, farmers markets, grocery stores, and restaurants will donate unused, uneaten, unopened food to food rescue centers. So it's kind of like secondhand food, except it hasn't been touched by any prior consumer, because that would be fucking disgusting. Like, I wouldn't even, if there was free food up for grabs, but there was a little asterisk that said a previous consumer has dipped their fingers or their fork, I would still not buy it. But yeah, so I went to a food rescue center or market for the past 2 weeks. I've been going once a week on Monday. And oh, but something really quick I want to tell you. As a consumer, you operate by eat by, use by, drink by, right? Like every product you have, whether it's yogurt or milk or queso or guacamole, it always has an expiration date, right? And as a consumer, that is the date you pay the closest attention to because you don't want to eat spoiled goods. Restaurants and farmers markets and grocery stores, mainly grocery stores, they operate on a different schedule and timetable. They don't really care when you consume the milk, as long as they sell it by a particular date. So the grocery store will have a little sticker somewhere that they can only see. The consumer usually doesn't see this. And the sticker will say, sell by June 30th, right? But their expiration date says, consume by July 10th. So if the supermarket doesn't sell milk by June 30th, they give it to a food rescue center, giving the consumers like 10, 20 days to purchase that milk and consume it. So I went to this food rescue. Sorry, I'm cracking my knuckles. It's a bad habit I have. I went to a food rescue center. I go every Monday. And the first time I went, I was honestly like pretty underwhelmed because with a food rescue, the same way with thrifting, sometimes you feel like you hit the jackpot and you're like, holy shit, I will never pay full price for anything again. Like you leave with candles and lamps and paintings and furniture and you're like, oh my God, this particular store has everything that I could ever want. And then you go back a second time and you're like, oof, like there is literally nothing here that I want. It's kind of the same way with food markets because you just never know what surplus a grocery store is going to have. They could have extra beans, they could have extra fruit, they could have extra pasta, you just never know. So the first time I went, I think I only left with like 3 oranges, 1 apple. I was tempted to buy some bread, but I really didn't need it, and bread doesn't last that long unless you freeze it. And so here's how it works. You get in line, they give you a little pager, and your pager buzzes when they have a cart for you. And the reason you have to use a cart is because at the end of your shop, you put the cart on a scale, and it measures how much your food overall weighs. I remember I left my first shopping with about 2.5 pounds of food. And to prevent greedy motherfuckers from getting carried away, these rescues will have signs on individual fridge and individual shelves that say, please take up to one. So on one shelf, you may have pasta, ramen, canned peaches, brownies, and cookies. And it'll say, please take up to one, meaning you can choose to just ignore that section if you want to, or you can take just one. So as a consumer, you have to say to yourself, what am I most likely to eat? What is my household most likely to enjoy? Is it the cookies? Is it the pasta? Is it the ramen? Is it the brownies? And you'll take one. Some other shelves, you can take up to three. Like the last time I went, it was take up to three. And I didn't even need that much. I was like, whoa, if I took three, I wouldn't be able to eat it all. So you just have to be very mindful as a consumer, like what do I actually enjoy eating? What's gonna get eaten the fastest so that it doesn't go bad? So that kind of prevents like I said, like greedy motherfuckers from like grabbing the whole entire shelf for themselves. It's a very communist mentality over there where it's like, and listen, like communism on paper, Like, doesn't communism on paper sound effective and functional? Like, we're all equal and we're all allowed equal amounts of bread and we're all allowed equal cups of water, right? It sounds like a dream on paper to just all be equal and all live like harmoniously and together, where no one can claim rules over another one's body or claim rules over another one's like voting rights, right? But we've seen how communism tried to shake out in Europe and it did not go so well. But anyway, at a food market, it is like very communist like that. We're all allowed one loaf of bread. We're all allowed three pieces of fruit. You put your cart on a scale. They measure your food. I don't know what they do with that information. I don't know. I don't know why it's important, like how much you're leaving with, but you do weigh your cart. And oh, and did I mention that when you buy food at a food market, it's free? Like, the word buy or purchase is not even relevant because it's fucking free. And like I'm not even kidding you. The only information that my food market needs from me is my phone number and my zip code. They don't ask about my income. They don't ask for like your social security number or your address or any like personal or your birthday. Like, they don't ask for any of that. All they want to know is your general zip code and how many people you are feeding per household. So every time I go, I put in like two adults, me and my husband, I put in my zip code. They smile and wave and say, have a good day. And you literally take your free fucking groceries and get in your car and drive home. It is not a gimmick. It is not like, and everything there is volunteer based. So like nobody's getting paid to be there, which I think is just so lovely. Like volunteering for any sort of cause is lovely and noble. And I wish I could be like you. So everything there is, everyone there is just like happy to fucking help. And everyone there is happy to serve a greater cause, which is like helping families get through inflation and helping family. And oh, and also like helping reduce waste. So the first time I went, I felt really guilty because I am not someone you would consider like low income. I'm not a fucking millionaire, obviously, but I'm not like low income and I'm not struggling to buy food even in this inflated economy. Like, I have a full-time job, so does my husband. We are called DINKs, which stands for dual income, no kids, and DINKs are like the most well-off social class because that money is theirs and they're not like providing for anyone else. So as a DINK, I felt really guilty, like I am taking food away from families who like maybe can't afford the grocery store. And because I can, why am I taking free food? That's one way of thinking about it. And I understand if that's what you're thinking, like, oh my God, you selfish fucking cunt. Like, if you can afford groceries, pay for fucking groceries and stop taking shit for free. That is one way to look at it. And I hear you. But, you know, there's also this other angle in that food markets actually do a lot of good for the planet in terms of reducing waste and reducing garbage. If restaurants and grocery stores don't sell milk by that sell-by date, that would end up in the trash. And that is perfectly good milk, perfectly good bread, just sitting in fucking dumpsters waiting to be dumped on some like trash island somewhere. So when you shop at a food rescue, you are saying like, You are saying like, this isn't trash. I am reducing trash by taking this product off of your shelves and into my home so that I can enjoy it for myself before it goes bad. So in that sense, I'm like, I'm actually doing a good thing. I'm helping food and beverages have a second shelf life. I'm reducing waste. I am taking what grocery stores consider trash and I'm actually giving it like a second chance, and it's not trash to me. It's actually like dinner for the day. And in that sense, I feel really good about shopping at a food, you know, at a food rescue. Let's move on to what I called fit girl cheat days. So on YouTube, I am really loving Stephanie Buttermore. Her channel is all about fitness, health, strength training, but also food. Like, she's a huge foodie. She loves to like travel. I think she has like Hong Kong, Newfoundland, anyway, she just like loves to travel and eat. And the reason I love her channel so much is because she is, in my eyes, she is the perfect balance of someone who really values like the gym and self-improvement from the inside out, like gaining muscle, losing fat, being strong, someone who has like really, you know, honorable dedication and discipline with the gym, but someone who also like goes fucking hard with food and will eat Burger King and Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' Donuts and pizza and fries. And she calls herself, like, she calls her cheat days or her binge days, these are her words, fit girl cheat days. And it's really inspirational to me because I've gone through so many different phases in my life of loving my body, hating my body, loving food, and seeing food as the enemy. I don't want to get too, you know, emotional and deep about like eating disorders, but there have been times where I have thrown up my food. I remember years ago when we were living in LA, I wanted to go to Mexico for my birthday, which if you live in LA, you can drive like five hours and you're there. It's honestly not like that big of a trip. And I ate a brownie in the days leading up to the trip. And as soon as I ate the whole thing, I like looked myself, I was like, wait, fuck. Like, why did I just eat this brownie when I'm going to be in a bikini in fucking Mexico? And I want to take like lovely Instagram photos and I want to look like skinny and hot in these photos. So I threw up the brownie. And I felt strange afterwards. I didn't feel proud of my behavior. I didn't really feel ashamed. I was just kind of like, oh, like that just happened. I just threw up food for the sake of a fucking like bikini photo. And since when does one single brownie do anything to your body? One single brownie is not going to help you, is not going to cause weight gain. And throwing up one single brownie is not going to cause weight loss. It was just like twisted, distorted diet culture screaming at me saying, brownies make you fat, pasta makes you fat. When in reality, I think those of us who've done the research and have the knowledge and follow like nutritionists and dietitians and like actual professional gym trainers, like we know that it's all about balance and it's all about the long run. So if you're eating like relatively nutritious foods in the long run, to have one single brownie on a fucking like Saturday night isn't going to do anything. But it was just diet culture. I was so sucked into diet culture for so long that it really skewed my body image. And for the first time in my life, I'm 30 now. This is weird to say. But maybe from the ages 28 to 30, only at 28 did I start liking my body. Loving my body is not the right word. Maybe I'll never love it, and that's okay. Body neutrality versus like body positivity. But Stephanie Buttermore is to me that like reminder and that visual example that you can go hard at the gym and you can love muscle and definition and feeling strong and feeling accomplished, because that's what fitness does to me. It makes me feel like I just fucking did that. I just fucking lifted 25 pounds when I could only lift 15 pounds the month prior. It's about accomplishment and it's about self-growth and self-improvement. And Stephanie Buttermore, she does that and she is like a badass bitch at the gym, but she is also a badass bitch when she gets to McDonald's. She, I don't know if this is like the official medical diagnosis, but she used to experience something that's called extreme hunger. And it's because she has a whole YouTube video on this. So if I'm like butchering the details, forgive me, you can go and watch her own story and the words from her own mouth. But she said that she used to suffer from what's called extreme hunger. And she theorizes that she experienced extreme hunger from eating like 100% clean for so long. Like she would eat nothing but chicken and vegetables and fruit, and that's it. And eating like so clean and so quote unquote healthy also means eating like very restricted. And she thinks that being restricted for so long, like years and years and years, only contributed to this extreme hunger. And that's where her cheat days kind of came about. Because she said like, all right, since I'm so hungry all the fucking time, I'm just going to eat whatever the hell I want for a day. 24 hours, I'm not going to care about calories, I'm not going to track macros, I'm just going to eat until I'm full. And this girl, because of extreme hunger, she can eat 10,000 calories in a single day, no problem. No, like, extreme, you know, with, like, no stomach ache, no extreme bloating, no nausea, no puking. She's not, like, on the challenge, like, eating pig's ears and then vomiting. Like, she is enjoying every single bite. But she's the first to admit that 10,000 calories is maybe not, no, I don't like the word normal, but, like, not the usual eating behavior for a woman of her age and a woman of her size. Like, she is a petite, or she used to be, like, this very, very petite girl with, like, nothing but bone and muscle. Like, she had not a single ounce of fat on her body because of this highly restricted diet that she said, okay, enough is enough. No more restricting. No more chicken breast for dinner. I want to have a fucking burger and pasta and mozzarella sticks for dinner. And let's see how my body responds. And for a while, she did gain weight, and she documents her weight gain as well. But over time, her body, like, totally evened out. She went from so skinny and so, like, ripped to where every single muscle in her stomach was defined. Then she kind of teetered the other way, where she got, you know, slightly bigger and gained weight. But then over time, once her body realized that food is always readily available and you are not intentionally starving, because your body fucking knows, your muscles know, like, muscle memory, your muscles know how much food they're going to get the next day. And if your body is constantly nervous about not eating enough calories, especially when you're lifting such heavy weights on a daily basis, your body's going to go into, like, panic survival mode, and it's not going to function properly. This woman, Stephanie, she lost her period for a while because her body was in such survival fight or flight mode that it couldn't, you know, experience her usual monthly menstrual cycle. And then she calls it the all-in diet, where you're just all in and you're not, like, second-guessing your food choices or second-guessing how much you're eating. Like, none of these bullshit rules. Like, if you've had a full plate of dinner and you're still hungry after that full plate of dinner, then fucking eat more. Like, what are these rules that you can't have, like, a second dinner or a dessert? Or what are these rules that you shouldn't eat past 7 p.m.? Like, it's all bullshit. And to watch her become just so happy around food and so comfortable around food that, like, most of us might be scared of is so refreshing and so inspiring to me as someone who has, like, gone through so many phases of loving and hating food. I've seen food as the enemy. I've seen food as my only friend or source of comfort in the world, and neither one is really that healthy, like, mentally for you. You gotta see it as neutral. So here's what I'm doing to kind of, like, prove that cookies and strawberries are neutral. Like, they're not nutritionally equal, but morally, like, food doesn't have morals. There is no such thing as evil food, and there is no such thing as, like, good angelic food. It's all the fucking same. So to prove to myself that I can kind of adapt Stephanie's food mentality, I have started buying cookies, maybe like a box of 12 cookies. I buy one once a week when I go to the grocery store, and I keep it on my kitchen cabinets. And if I were to do that, like, 3 years ago, I would probably binge those cookies in 2 days. Like, 12 cookies in 2 days, no problem. Because mentally, I'm scared of those cookies going away because they're not here very often. But if cookies are always here, they're always in my kitchen, they're readily available for me, my body doesn't panic. I can have one cookie today on Wednesday, and my body, my brain will know, like, hey, these cookies aren't going anywhere. You can have a cookie tomorrow, and you can have a cookie the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You don't have to eat 5 cookies today out of fear that, like, they're never going to be here ever again. So that's, like, a little experiment that I have going on right now, and it's actually going really well. I had one cookie yesterday. I had 2 cookies on Monday. I do not consider that a binge. I do not consider that, like, unhealthy behavior in any sort of way. And it's working out really well for me. Lastly, I want to talk about voting with your dollars. I'm mostly referring to the Supreme Court, I'm still thinking about that every day and night. It keeps me up at night, just like fearing for women in half the states of America. Voting with your dollar. Okay, so on Reddit, I found this website, and it's called Goods, like G-O-O-D-S, GoodsUniteUs.com. And this website shows you the political affiliations of large corporations. Something you may not be aware of, and I wasn't really that aware of this, is that companies like Lowe's and Home Depot and McDonald's and Starbucks, like these mega corporations, they have millions, if not billions of dollars in the bank. And CEOs of companies are just like us. They have political beliefs, they have political values, and they want to see a certain candidate do well. So what they'll do is they'll donate, you know, a small fraction of their billions of dollars to political campaigns and political candidates. And what the Goods Unite Us website shows you is where that money goes to exactly which politician and the political party affiliated with that person. So I'll give you like Costco as an example. A place like Costco, you wouldn't really think like, I don't know, I don't want to sound judgy, but the people who shop at Costco sometimes, I'm like, you are not vaccinated. You are like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like a little bit trashy, a little bit country, a little bit redneck. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's like when you shop at Kmart and Walmart and you kind of look around you, you're like, you know, like, I just don't know. So I didn't really expect Costco to donate money to Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders. Lo and behold, Costco, or the CEO of Costco, is a very Democratic person and a very like left-leaning person who donates money to Democratic presidential nominees and political campaigns. On the opposite side of the scale, you have Home Depot. I forget the two senators' names, but Home Depot has donated money to at least two senators. One senator is from Missouri. The other one might be from the deep South, like Alabama or Mississippi, and they are pro-life conservatives. So this website will show you like where these mega corporations are donating money. And the reason they can The reason they can donate so much money to these political figures is because we're giving them our money. So it got me thinking of like, where do I shop and do these businesses align with my political beliefs? Home Depot? Not so much. If Home Depot is going to donate to fucking pro-life conservatives, I am not on board and I do not want to continue giving my money to Home Depot. Meanwhile, Costco that donates to like Bernie Sanders, that's really fucking cool to me. So I'm going to continue shopping at Costco. I'm going to shop more at Costco and I'm going to make more conscious decisions around where my money goes. So for example, this week I already started implementing small changes into my grocery shop. Normally I shop at Hy-Vee, which is like a Midwestern local supermarket. And they market themselves as employee-owned, which, much to my surprise, is not the same as a union. I read the words like company-owned or employee-owned, and I was like, oh, great, Hy-Vee's a union. That's a bonus for me. I like shopping at Hy-Vee for that reason. But on the Goods Unite Us website, Hy-Vee donates to like only Republican conservative politicians. So what I did instead is I shopped at Aldi. Aldi is it based in Germany? Is that where like the first Aldi showed up? But anyway, Aldi being of like European origin doesn't really give a shit about any American politician. It doesn't give a fuck about Republicans or Democrats. So Aldi does not donate to any politician at all. It is about the most politically neutral supermarket in the United States. So I shopped at Aldi and I shopped at Costco, which is like pretty much left-leaning. And I thought to myself, I was like, companies and politicians are very similar in the fact that they would be nothing without money. Money runs the world, unfortunately. It runs our politics. It runs the food that we bring into this house, the furniture we bring into this house. And since companies and politicians would be nothing without our money, we actually have way more power and way more control about where our money goes. And if we want to see conservatives become like eliminated from the political game, you have to take away their money. You have to take away their resources. That's what Europe and the United States, or NATO countries, that's what NATO is trying to do with Vladimir Putin and Russia. We're trying to fight almost a financial war, a cold war involving money and resources and power. And when you take away Putin's money and you take away Putin's resources, you're stripping Putin of military power, military personnel, tanks, bombs, missiles. You're taking all that shit away. And we can do the same thing with political individuals that we do not support. We can take Trump's money away. We can take Trump's social media activity away. Look how quickly we like, not forgot, but we like stopped paying attention to Trump because we took away his social media. And social media was his form of power. He loved tweeting. I think Trump tweeted like 10 times a day, calling people fucking losers and going on these rants and tangents and just like spewing lies and bullshit, claiming that he won the election when like, oh my God, are you fucking stupid? I mean, you are. We took away Trump's power. We took away his Twitter and he is like essentially nothing. We can do the same thing with politicians. We can do the same thing with like Clarence Thomas, the most conservative guy on the Supreme Court. Take away his money, take away his campaigns, take away his marketing, and what do you have? Nothing, right? Politics thrive on money, and they thrive on campaigns, and they thrive on marketing, and they thrive on modern-day propaganda. And as consumers, we hold the dollars, and we hold the credit cards, and we hold the debit cards, which means we have the fucking power to say, nope, Home Depot, I'm not giving you my money. Because you know what you do with my money? You give it to fucking pro-life conservatives. And I do not stand for that shit. Now more than ever, like voting at the polls, still number one. Still the best way to make a change, make a stand, make your voice known. I hope all of you vote in the November midterms. What you can do leading up to that, because November is still a long way away. And if you're looking for a way to like make a difference now and start making changes now, vote appropriately with your dollars. Give your money to companies whose political beliefs and moral beliefs align with yours. And you can find your answers on goodsuniteus.com. That's all from me. I would love it if you left a positive review on Apple Podcasts. I would love it if you followed me on Instagram at Sophie Radvan. I would also love it if you read my newsletter on Substack at Sophie Radvan. Link in my bio on Instagram, link in the podcast's bio. I'll talk to y'all soon. Have a great day. Bye.